أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. Respected friends, as I mentioned last week, inshallah we will commence with the tafsir of the Holy Qur'an. Of course, on easy terms, mention the basics, enough for us to understand the Holy Qur'an, and hopefully, in our prayers, connect to the Almighty by means of the understanding of the Holy Qur'an. So of course, as you may noticed, we're commencing with Surah Al-Fatiha. I started by saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, which basically translates into, I seek protection in Allah from shaitan, the devil, the rejected one. The reason why we seek protection from shaitan is because shaitan made basically a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to misguide mankind. He said, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will surely come from all sides around humanity, around human being, except the top. He didn't say min fawqihim, min bayni aydihim wa min khalfihim wa an aymanihim wa an shama'ilihim. The reason why some scholars mention that he didn't say I won't come from up top is that's where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends from. This is the words of some scholars. It's not a concrete hadith or a Quranic ayah of any sort. So we seek protection in Allah from shaitan, the rejected one. So while we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran, he doesn't bring about wasawis, doubts, you know, any sorts of elements of misguidance in our minds or hearts. Hence we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Allah told His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Qur'an, then seek protection in Allah from shaitan, the rejected one. That is why the Ashabu Sunan, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasai, Sunan Abu Dawood, they make mention of a narration that كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ إِذَا يَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would stand in night prayer, he would commence the night prayer by saying, أَسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek protection in Allah from shaitan, the rejected one. What is the stance of saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, i.e. is it wajib, is it sunnah, is it fard? So there's an ikhtilaf, there's a difference of opinion among the mufassirun, the scholars of the exegesis of the Holy Qur'an, and the qurra. So the qurra, basically the reciters of the Holy Qur'an, they say that it's wajib. It's compulsory because this is how the recitation of the Qur'an came down to us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mufassirun, the exegists, they say that it's not fard. Rather, it's mustahab. It's rewarding. There is actually no real difference of opinion because the qurra, the reciters of the Holy Qur'an, they say the reason why saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم is wajib is because you're transmitting the Qur'an as is, as it came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst the mufassirun, the exegist, they're just explaining the Holy Qur'an to you. After you finish the tafsir of the Holy Qur'an, they're not going to give you a sanad all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give that sanad, that certificate through their teachers, which rarely happens. You need years of dedication in order to get that. Thereafter, we commence by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. The reason why we commence with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as Allama al-Tabari rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir, that addaba, you know, he says that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say Bismillah before every good action. And one of the best actions that you could do is the recitation of the Holy Quran. In fact, it's one of the best remembrance, best forms of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِبَالٍ لَمْ يُبْدَأْ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَقْطَعْ. Any action which is not commenced with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that action is incomplete. Thereafter, we have to understand that this surah, Suratul Fatiha, is a Makki surah. Makki surah, does anybody know what Makki surah means? Does anybody know? The authentic opinion. What does a surah al-Makkiyah mean? Anybody, you can tell me, inshallah.
It came when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was in Mecca.
Yeah, this is one opinion, and this is the common opinion on our tongues, but this is not the real opinion. Makkiyah and Madaniyah is the distinction between the Hijrah period. So sometimes a surah is Makkiyah, a surah is called a surah which is possibly revealed in Mecca, but maybe at that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not even in Mecca at that moment. Maybe he came in Mecca to do the Umrah or to do the Hajj. So this is one of the authentic opinions with regards to Makkiyah and Madaniyah. Sheikh Imad, you can correct me anytime I'm wrong. So basically this is the reality of the matter. Anytime the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, every surah which was revealed after that period, which is called the Hijrah period, the period of migration, that surah will be called Madaniyah, a surah which was revealed in Medina, even if it was possibly revealed in Mecca. Why? Because that's the distinction that was made by the companions radiallahu anhum. After this, we have to understand there are many virtues linked with Surah Al-Fatiha, which we don't know about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's mentioned in Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. He's a man who sacrificed a lot when it came to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say it's because of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that because of his sacrifices, at that time, the genuine aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah is alive nowadays in its pristine forms. Because if he, being one of the only primary scholars of the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, if he at that time gave up the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then Allahu A'lam, Allah could have restored it in another form. But apparently, the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah would have become diluted. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Imam Ahmad as well. Imam Ahmad narrates in his lengthy Musnad that أن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه قرأ على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاتحة الكتاب. Ubay bin Ka'b رضي الله عنه was once reciting Surah Al-Fatiha to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, stopped for a moment and he told Ubay bin Ka'b. He says, O Ubay, ما أنزل في التوراة ولا في الإنجيل ولا في الزبور ولا في الفرقان مثلها هي السبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم. He said, O Ubay, Allah has not revealed a surah of the likes of Surah Al-Fatiha, nor in the Torah, which is the book that the Jews hold dear to them, it's their holy book, ولا في الإنجيل, nor in the Bible, وَلَا فِي الزَّبُورِ, nor in the Psalms that he gave to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, nor even in the rest of the Qur'an. Allah hasn't revealed a surah like Surah Al-Fatiha in any of these books, including the Holy Qur'an, like the Surah Al-Fatiha. What is it? هي السبعُ المثاني. It's the seven powerful verses, وَالْقُرْآنُ الْعَظِيمُ, and the essence of the Qur'an in itself. What is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam saying? This surah encompasses all matters of the deen. If you look at it with a genuine gaze, it encompasses matters of belief, encompasses matters of the day of judgment, encompasses matters of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It speaks about who are the genuine people, who are the people on the right path. It speaks about what the right path is. You know, in the Salat al-Isha, I read a verse about talaq. Today, talaq is one of the most contentious issues among the Muslims because of the cultural, you know, barriers, because of the cultural practices that they put into this hukam of Allah. Allah says beautifully in the Quran, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَكَحْتُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. I'm just giving you an example that how Allah says, come onto the straight path. Don't dilute the straight path with your culture, etc. If you look at the tafasir, I'm giving you an example, just one of the examples, you know, relating to talaq. Allah says, O you who believe, when you get married to the believing women, and such a time comes before you interact with them, or before you even become intimate with them, you divorce them. فَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. When it comes to divorce, divorce in a beautiful manner. Let them go in a beautiful manner. Is divorce done beautifully nowadays? Or are people leaving each other on angry terms? The husband's breaking glasses and the wife's taking her suitcase. You know, subhanAllah, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told humanity, your purpose at the end of the day is to get along with each other. Even in cases of divorce, be nice to each other. If you possibly see her on the way somewhere, say salam, smile, you know, bring about some compassion. This is the deen, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these are the seven powerful verses and the Qur'an in essence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith taught Sa'id bin, Abi Sa'id bin Mu'alla radiyallahu anhu, as Imam Bukhari mentions the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'alla radiyallahu anhu Surah al-Fatiha, and he told him basically a similar sentiment that he told to Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu. Hiya sab'u al-mathani wal-Qur'an al-azim. These are the seven powerful verses and the Qur'an in essence. There are many names for this Surah al-Fatiha. Inshallah, I'll end with this. I'll mention a few of these names. One of the names of Surah al-Fatiha is al-Fatiha. The reason why it's called Al-Fatiha is because Fatiha means the opening. So this chapter opens up the Qur'an to us. It's the beginning chapter of the Holy Qur'an. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha mentioned in various narrations is Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. This is, once again, because the essence of the Qur'an, a nickname given to Surah Al-Fatiha is Ummul Kitab. Another name that is given to Surah Al-Fatiha is Ash-Shafiya, the one which gives cure. You might have seen some scholars reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, you know, blowing it in water and making sick people drink. You find narrations like that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So this is in reality the matter. If coupled with taking modern day medicines, I don't want to offend the doctor sitting here, coupled with taking modern day medicines, if you incorporate that with Surah Al-Fatiha as well, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate an easy cure for the person who's sick. And there are many other names that are mentioned with regards to what the name of Surah Al-Fatiha is. There are many other names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions there's about 12 names of Surah Al-Fatiha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding of Surah Al-Fatiha. Inshallah, we will continue on translating the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha next week and hopefully start dissecting verse by verse and mentioning a background as well with regards to the verses that we recite, and coupled with that, the lessons that apply in our lives through these verses, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, by the permission of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness. We ask Allah to populate our beautiful masjid. We ask Allah to unite our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us Jannat al-Firdaus without any reckoning. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakumullah.